Tom had been standing, sadly looking at the many faces moving around him, for one he would like to call master. And if you, sir, should ever be in a situation where you must choose, out of 200 men, one who was to become your absolute owner and ruler, you would, perhaps, realize, just as Tom did, how few there were that you would feel at all comfortable in being given to. A little before the sale started, a short, broad, muscular man, in a checked shirt and dirty old trousers, elbowed his way through the crowd, like one who was going actively into a business, and coming up to the group, began to examine them systematically. From the moment that Tom saw him coming, he felt an immediate and revolting horror at him that increased as he came near. He was clearly, though short, very strong. His round, bullet head, large, light gray eyes with their hairy brown eyebrows, and stiff, messy, sunburned hair were rather ugly items, it must be said. His large, rude mouth was full of tobacco, the juice of which, from time to time, he spit with great decision and explosive force. His hands were very large, hairy, sunburned, freckled, and very dirty, and had long nails in very bad condition. This man started a very free personal examination of the slaves. He took Tom by the jaw and pulled open his mouth to inspect his teeth, made him pull up his shirt to show his muscle, turned him around, made him jump to show how he moved.
"Where were you raised?" he added briefly to these investigations.
"In Kentuck, massa," said Tom, looking around as if for help.
"What have you done?"
"Took care of massa's farm," said Tom.
"Likely story," said the man as he walked on.
Again he stopped before Susan and Emmeline. He put out his heavy, dirty hand and pulled the girl towards him. He touched her neck and chest, felt her arms, looked at her teeth, and then pushed her back against her mother, whose patient face showed the suffering she had been going through at every motion of the horrible stranger. The girl was frightened and began to cry.
"Stop that, you minx," said the salesman. "No whimpering here. The sale is going to begin."
And then the sale began.
"Now up with you, boy. Do you hear?"
said the auctioneer to Tom. Tom stepped upon the block, gave a few anxious looks around. Everything seemed confused noise. The sound of the salesman speaking in French and English, the quick French and English bids, and almost in a moment came the final thump of the hammer and the clear ring of the word dollars as the auctioneer announced his price, and Tom was sold. He had a master. He was pushed from the block. The short, bullet-headed man took him roughly by the shoulder, pushed him to one side, saying, in a cruel voice, "Stand there, you!" Tom hardly realized anything, but still the bidding went on, now French, now English. Down goes the hammer again. Susan is sold. She goes down from the block, stops, looks sadly back. Her daughter stretches her hands towards her. She looks with pain at the face of the man who has bought her, a respectable, middle-aged man with a kind face.
"Oh, massa, please do buy my daughter."
"I'd like to, but I'm afraid I can't afford it," said the gentleman, looking with painful interest as the young girl climbed onto the block and looked around her with fear.
"I'll do whatever I can," said the kind-looking gentleman.
he started to bid on the young girl. In a few moments, the price is too high for him. He is silent. The auctioneer continues, but bids get slower. It is now between an aristocratic old man and our bullet-headed, horrible man. The contest only lasts a moment. The hammer falls. The horrible man has got the girl, body and soul, unless God help her. Her master is Mr. Legree, who owns a cotton plantation on the Red River. She is pushed along with Tom and two other men and goes off, crying as she goes. The kind gentleman is sorry, but then this happens every day. One sees girls and mothers crying at these sales always. It can't be helped. So he walks off with what he has bought in another direction.